Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, everybody, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to trying to wrap up a message that the Apostle Paul preached to Agrippa, and really not just to Agrippa, although he was speaking to Agrippa. Agrippa was the moderator. Agrippa was the one that had asked the initial question or issued the initial permission. But remember, the Apostle Paul is speaking to really all the higher ups, including Festus. Sometimes we forget that. You know, the Festus is there hearing all of this again. And as we said last episode, Paul has kind of paved the way right now, hasn't he?
He surely has. He's talked about all the history, where he is in the past, why he had been as he had been, and really has given himself a good platform now to launch into what he has done with the gospel in the Old Testament.
Because what he has said so far is, hey, I'm a Bible believer. I believe in the resurrection that the Bible clearly teaches. I have been radically defensive of the Jewish faith. So if I'm Agrippa right now, or if I'm one of the other people in this room, then I'm thinking, well, then what is the issue? Why are the Jews for whom you have so faithfully worked? Why are these representatives of the Jewish religion that you defended so ardently? Why are they now wanting you dead?
That would be for sure, because Paul, you know, he is not some pestilent man like they talked about earlier. They see he is a man with common sense. He is a man with logic. He is a man who knows the Bible. And he is just calmly telling them what he has been like in his past and how the Jews even know this about him.
Let's pick it up in verse 11. We kind of ended here yesterday or last episode. I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. In other words, beyond even the environs of Israel. Verse 12, whereupon, so we're in Acts 26 and verse 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. So again, John, that one verse really underscores everything we've said. So he's going representing the Jewish faith. He's going with permission from the chief priests. That's the Sanhedrin Council. The very people now that are wanting to kill him are the people that had entrusted him to defend the faith.
And Paul was one of the most zealous of people back in his day, and he was right on the same page as them, and they trust him to go outside of Israel even to carry out what he wanted to do.
So this is the climax of the story, because this is going to answer the question as to how the Jews are at odds with Paul. He says in verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So this is the sticking point here, John.
It certainly is. And what a powerful short message we have here from Paul as he relates historically how Jesus met him, what Jesus told him. And Paul tells Agrippa, this is what happened in my life to change me from the man who wanted to stamp out Christianity. This changed me into the man I am today who is preaching Jesus Christ.
So I guess, first of all, let's look at the circumstances surrounding the call of the Apostle Paul. The circumstances were amazing. First of all, it stopped him dead in his tracks and really detoured his entire life purpose in one minute conversation.
This certainly was. This was truly an event that changed Paul's life 180, changed 180 degrees and made a complete change the rest of his life.
He arrived at Damascus an entirely different person. But not only do I see that as far as the circumstances, I also see what Paul said. He said, I saw a bright light at midday, and then he described that light. He said it was brighter than the sun. Sometimes I wonder, you know, why would God show a bright light? It was already bright out. It was the noonday. That's the brightest part of the day. I think it was to show by contrast that this was a greater light than anything you could ever possibly imagine.
You're exactly right. This is a supernatural light, you know, unearthly, so to speak. What we know on earth, the sun is bright. We didn't even look at the sun because it's so bright. But this was something that outshined the sun to a point this was a supernatural occurrence from God himself.
And remember, the Apostle Paul was blinded by this light, as we read back in Acts chapter 9, the initial time that happened. And Paul essentially gives the exact same testimony everywhere he goes. He just cannot get over what the Lord did for him. It's all of Christ. He said, Christ appeared to me. He called me by name. He told me, I know that you've been resisting me. I know that you've been fighting against the goading of your conscience and of your heart through conviction. But I'm calling you, Paul. I am real and I am Christ. And I am sovereign, and you must submit to me. And I've got a job for you to do that is the exact opposite. So instead of defending the Jewish religion, no, I want you to take the real Jewish religion, which culminates in Messiah, and I want you to take that to the Gentiles.
And whenever I hear you talk about this, Pastor, and I think about the times that Paul relates it himself, I just get the sense, you know, from see what Paul says, he had a genuine joy in telling people about this experience, and the details were etched in his mind. You know, this was such a significant event in his life. Paul did not forget the details about how that Jesus came to him at a great light and heard the voice, and Jesus told him what he was going to do. This was a truly life-changing event, and Paul never got over the joy of what had happened in his life.
The most powerful witness, and even think about the word witness itself, the most powerful witness that we can have to the unsaved world, to unbelievers, is the power of your own testimony. So all the truth of the gospel it's unchanging. We can give it in a codified, formulaic way. I'm not against learning how to do the Romans road or the spiritual laws or whatever way you give the gospel. I mean, that's wonderful, but may the gospel ever be shared in the context of your own testimony, that you are the first satisfied customer.
This is a great example of how we can use our testimony. And when we share our testimony, there is power in that. It's meaningful to us. You know, when I tell people about how I came to Christ, you know, I can't help but just think back to those early days when I knew Jesus Christ, when I trust him as my Savior, something even in my own heart that just wells up within me to think what God did for me, a poor sinner, although a child, but God saved me. And what was just the great joy that came from that.
I wonder at this point in the sermon, What kind of looks the Apostle Paul was receiving? I have to imagine that those that were in the room that were Jewish were just horrified. What do you mean, Gentiles? But I also have to imagine that among the Gentiles in the room, because there certainly were, that there was a sense of, wow, you know, something happened to this man that was, I don't know that I understand it. I don't know that I believe all of it. But one thing that is very clear is this man went from killing people in the name of Judaism for believing in Jesus to preaching that Jesus to Gentiles. You cannot describe a more dramatic change.
This would have been an extremely significant event. As you're right, Pastor, Paul relayed what had happened in his past. He was against Jesus even, but now he's a Jesus follower. They would have understood, even those that did not know Christ at all, would have understood that this was a significant event.
People can argue our theology. They can argue our call. They can argue points of doctrine, and they often do. But testimony is a powerful thing. I think about the situation in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John entered the temple and the lame man was healed. Remember when Peter and John were hauled in before the council, they could argue with Peter and John about the doctrine of Jesus, but one thing they could not contradict was the fact this guy that they had seen every day at this gate, who was lame from birth, could now walk.
You know, I think about that man there in Acts, and my mind also goes back to Mark chapter 1 with the leper, where Jesus tells the leper, go show yourself to the priest. I mean, the priest would have had to have said, well, we can't explain this.
Right.
But something happened.
Right. Or John chapter 9, where they tried to talk the blind man who had been healed by Jesus. They tried to talk him out of the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. No, you need to, don't dive into this. Don't say that he, and the blind man's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not as smart as you guys, but one thing I do know is I was blind, and now I can see, and he did that, so you explain that.
And that is just something they couldn't explain. The Pharisees could not explain that.
That's right. There's something inexplicable about the change that Jesus can effect in a life. I think it was Ingersoll, the famous skeptic, who said, I have, in my own mind, reasoned away all the arguments of theology except for the faith of my own mother. Hmm. And so there it was, right before him. I can argue point for point on your tenets of doctrine, but I cannot explain the life-changing grace in the life of my own mother.
And seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives is just a powerful testimony to the world. And I think of Nicodemus, who was trying to understand the process. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you can see the Spirit is at work because of what happens. And in our lives, as people around us see us go through difficulties and see us go through hard times and see us respond with joy, that is something the world cannot produce. Human nature cannot manufacture the Spirit of God.
Nor can they understand it. So Paul has preached the introductory points to his message, all leading up to the change that only Jesus could make. He has announced now the climactic point of his message. Now let's see how the message unfolds. But we're not going to see it today. We're going to see it next episode. What was Paul's takeaway? And how does Paul then take this message and make application to the people that are listening to him on that very day? Those are great questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll stay with us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.